Hello to all the ASNers listening to us at home. This is the new episode of the ESN podcast, and today I am interviewing Sabina, who is the communication manager of ESN International, and as such, as the person in charge of all things communication in our network, you're one of the person that we can thank for this project of the ESN podcast. So as a thank you, I'm going to ask you a lot of trick questions. I hope you're ready for that.
Ouch. Hello, Guillaume. Thank you very much for the invitation in this podcast. I'm very happy to be here, and I'm, of course, also very glad to be part of this project, more than just a one-time guest. I'm ready for your questions.
Well, maybe starting easy, if you can, in a few words, introduce yourself to anyone who wouldn't know you and what you do in the network.
I'm Sabina. I come from Bucharest, Romania, and I am 28 years old. Recently 28 years old, which sounds very weird for me. I am currently the communication manager of ESN, which means that I'm in charge with all the communication strategies, with the promotion of our services and activities, with taking care of our brand, and also with the relations with our stakeholders and the media.
That sounds both very interesting and like a lot of work. You're not the first person we interview in this podcast. We've gone through a few of your fellow board members. We've talked a bit about the current situation, obviously, about the life in the house, and everybody has told us that it seems to go pretty well. I mean, you guys are quite lucky to be in a group of friends together in the same house. But we all know that regardless of the situation, we all need a bit of our own time. I'm wondering, what's the thing you personally miss the most about the kind of normal life? And what do you want to do, the first thing you want to do as soon as we can get out of confinement?
There's quite some things that I miss, of course. I think I miss the routine that I had before. With going to work, I really miss going in the morning with the metro till the office, but stopping on the way when I get out of the metro to buy a croissant or a pain au chocolat and eat it until I reach the door of the office. I don't know why, but this was a very important part of my day. I was also listening to music on the way. And the first thing that I will do, that's a tricky one. I think I will just like to have a meeting outside in a restaurant, in a bar with more friends.
Yeah, we will do. Now we have to keep for the moment. It's just like those Skype drinks.
Yes, I'm actually a bit jealous on all those people that I see. They show on social media that they have a lot of meetings on Zoom with a lot of friends. For me, and probably also for my colleagues, this hasn't been really happening. We didn't really change our way of communicating with our friends. We didn't add more calls, more online meetings, just for fun. But I'm really happy this is happening all around for everybody. It's a way of coping, I think.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, people like us who know the exchange life, we've been used to communicating online for a while.
Yes. So
it's not too much of a change for us.
Yes, exactly. It was something normal. And maybe some of us, we just kept the same habits and the same meetings with the same friends.
And in general, when you want a moment to yourself, is it easy to do in the ESN house?
It is. It is, because we all have our own rooms where we feel, let's say, more comfortable, more safe. We have them nicely decorated as we want. For me, in my room, I have some party decorations, even though it's not a party, and some Christmas lights, fairy lights. They are very important for me to set up a relaxing mood in the afternoon. But then, for example, if all the rooms would be filled with people, I can also maybe go in the garden. If the weather is okay, I can go also in one of the guest rooms and maybe take a call, a private call from there.
So, Sabina, as any member of the board, you kind of have this new B to IB success story. And I'd like to go with you a bit of that. If you could just summarize us kind of where you started in ESN very simply.
Yes, I will try to summarize it. You do know I talk a lot.
Well, please talk. This is the ESN podcast. We're here to listen to you.
Okay, let's see. I started my journey in ESN in 2015 when I was back from my Erasmus in Poland after a year. And I really wanted to continue talking with international people. I wanted to speak more languages. I was just, you know, curious to keep on with this international lifestyle. And I looked for ESN in my city. I dropped them a message. Hey, can I join you? When is this happening? And yes, in autumn that year, I joined my local section in Bucharest, ESN Uni Bucharest. And it's actually very interesting because my journey has not been with very much international ESN involvement from the beginning, not even national. I was very caught in the reality that was there in my section, in my city, with the local and international students from there. And I found out very late about what is there, what's more. Somewhere in the way, I also joined ComCom, the press team. I wasn't really aware what's going on, what is ComCom, what is a committee. I just saw something in communication, and then for an entire evening, I struggled between social media team or press team. Social media team, press team. And in the end, I decided that I do want to join the press team because I love writing and I never make time to write for myself. Yes, so I joined the international level, and just a bit after, I found out about the entire range of activity that was happening on the national level. After being national vice president, I was actually somehow resigning. I was thinking, okay, I did some things. I already have a job. I can call myself a professional now in communication. I was at the beginning then in this path. And I thought, okay, maybe I should stop. But well, as you know, I didn't.
Yeah, famous last words of every ESNer. Yeah, I should stop now. And hang on, what's this position about?
Yeah, it comes every year like Santa Claus. It's like this. Exactly.
So what was the position that made you go back to the dark side?
Well, it's again related to ComCom. In the end, I was very much attracted to work more in ESN. I became the vice chair for media. And I could not believe how this was giving me a bigger fulfillment even than being the national vice president. And of course, it was again because of the people, but also because of the new knowledge that I was gaining. Somewhere on the road, I was also saying that, yes, okay, this is my last year. This has been great. I love it. But yeah, this is it.
And now, another talk cut, like imagine when in a TV show, you're saying, this is it. Cut to April, you're being elected as member of the international board. So obviously this is not it. So that was April of last year already, more than 1 year ago.
Wow.
In Greece at AGM Thessaloniki.
Yes.
So this is not something that obviously you think of on the spot. Like you did not come to Thessaloniki and was like, oh, I feel like I should be IB right now. When did you first thought of joining the international board?
Yes, of course, this was not at all something that came a month in advance, but it did come a few months in advance only, let's say. Well, as as a small joke and blast from the past. The first time I thought about joining the international board was somewhere in, was it end 2017, I think, during an international event in the Ascend House, late at night, 4 a.m. I was discussing with a friend. He asked me about if I would ever join the international board, what would I not change about myself? It was, you know, one of those late night conversations, but that made me think about it, to give a serious answer. But then I gave my answer and then I started laughing because, well, I wasn't really considering it, but it was nice, a nice mental exercise. But then again, fast forward to 2018, end of it again, when I really started considering it. I think it was a moment of reflection that that just sparked, and I realized how attached I am to everything that we do, to working with the people from the network, to the impact that we have and that we can have as an organization. Even though I had not only plans but also tickets to move away from Europe for a while, I decided that I can leave everything behind and go for this and risk this. Let's see what happens.
And now you're here. Dreams do come true, and with them you had probably a lot of expectations before joining. How does the board match your expectation?
Yes, of course, there are many expectations related to the job itself, to working with people from the network, working with the board, the city itself, living in Brussels and in the house. I think I foresaw well most of the aspects. I knew that it will be a lot of work. I knew that however different we are as people in the board, whoever will be my board, we will get along. And I also knew a thing or two about working with the teams that I'm currently working. I think I was missing on the size of ESN, how wide our scope is. Let's say it hit me in the first days that, wow, it's me, I'm in charge, and I'm really responsible for decisions that I take for a large number of volunteers, but also when it comes to priorities that we set for, let's say, education in Europe. So it was a bit of a shock that there's a few people with a big responsibility, but I accepted it soon, I think. I'm very proud of my colleagues and I and the entire network of how we're doing together in this year, especially in this, you know, coronavirus situation. What I didn't expect somehow is that one can get very, very tired physically sometimes, physically and mentally, and that it's really weird how sometimes even in the weekends you don't have time to take a deep breath, it's also very difficult to be creative, to give time for a brainstorming, for example, to give yourself this time. So I didn't expect this somehow, but it was also a matter of adapting to this.
And in regards to what you and your friend discussed, that fateful night, but what would you not change if you're part of the IB? What was it?
Okay, the change, the answer is silly. I said that even if I would become a member of the international board, I would still be very approachable and hug everybody.
So okay, you hug people, that's the first thing.
Yeah, unexpected, right?
So did you manage that?
I think I did for most of the time. I am always trying to be myself. Authenticity for me is very, very important. There's nothing else that can prime for an individual, I think, in all aspects. Yes, I'm still trying to be very approachable and to hug people. But sometimes, of course, you need to understand some situations do not allow you to be that friendly, or some people would not always understand your intentions.
Most of the time, I can say that Sabina is very easy to hug. Don't be afraid. In terms of the setting where you're living in, you briefly touched upon it. You're in Brussels, the city that you've been to a few times in ESN context, obviously. But you've never lived in Brussels before ESN, did you?
No, I never lived in Brussels.
And now that you're here, how does it match to maybe the expectations you had of Brussels?
I realized today that it's very close to my first year anniversary in Brussels and in the ESN house, because I moved on the 16th of May, a bit earlier than the other board members. So during a year, I managed to adapt to everything that was a bit confusing or shocking in the beginning. I really like Brussels as a city. I love the architecture of the houses, and I love how easy it is to go from one side to another. Also the fact that there are so many ESNers living here. People that have been involved for years in ESN. And it's really great to be able to catch up, to know that you have somebody there. You don't move in a you know, completely foreign city. But it took me a while to adapt. For example, when it comes to food, I was really shocked to see how important bread, or maybe let's say sandwiches, are for those living here. For a while, I was eating sandwiches every day, which I don't find very healthy.
Well, perhaps not, but since it's a country that speaks French, I'm not surprised bread has an importance. Makes sense.
Also, when it comes to food, I was not finding all the ingredients that I was used to. For example, sour cream. Where is it? some ingredients were just more difficult to find. Most of them, I found them in different stores. For example, the Polish store, the Romanian store, the Turkish store. So different products and ingredients I was used to in my normal daily meal plan. But then also, maybe it sounds weird, but even though there are a lot of crisps in the supermarket, you would not find crisps with cheese flavor.
That's outrageous.
It is outrageous. you can find cheese with onion as a mix of flavor, but never cheese alone.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do prefer the cheese-only crisps.
Yes, thank you.
Very important thing about Brussels. So, you know, Brussels goes from a 10 out of 10 to a 9 out of 10 because of that.
And currently, the residents from Belgium, they are encouraged by the government to eat 2 times per week, at least, potatoes.
I have seen that.
Me and my colleagues, we need to step up and do our duty as Belgians or Belgian residents.
Yeah, the whole country is very thankful for the ESN house. For their sacrifice.
Yeah. It's a bit like this.
Yeah, actually, when they told you maybe you have to eat potatoes twice a week, you actually had to reduce your consumption. So everything is well in Brussels and in the house. And as we've interviewed some of your fellow IB members so far, and they've told us that There's a good atmosphere, obviously, especially right now. You guys are very close together. But there's one question that has left a little bit of tension and a little bit of competition. So maybe you can help us figure out who is the best cook in the house.
When you started, I was so sure you will say this.
I mean, I think it's the big debate that's going on from this podcast. So we need to know.
Well, let's just say that, you know, the recordings of this podcast were done at different times. And maybe some of the people from the house didn't have the chance to show their cooking skills. In the meantime, we actually had a tense discussion when we heard the answers of Kostis. both me and Tayana were eyeing him like, okay, you will not receive any food from us anymore. And Joao was telling him, no worries, I'm here to cook. And I will just say that the three of us, we are very good, because everything that I ate from my colleagues was delicious. Joao is usually doing cooking meat and something on the side. Tayana is with baking, and I am playing with both. For me, it doesn't matter. I just love feeling the ingredients.
So on a peaceful note, maybe we can say there's no better cook. Is you're all equally great cook in the house.
Yes, exactly. Equality, yes.
Perfect. But deep down, you probably have an opinion that I'm not going to say here.
I can just say that the cake for my birthday was something special.
And since we're talking about your board members, everybody did it. Can you quickly describe in your own words each board member?
I knew this will come.
We have to.
I have to. Okay. Kostis, as you might have heard before, Kostis loves eating a lot. You might find him during the night in the kitchen. Other than this, I really like to work with him, because he's very calm in his work. In general, when we need to take a decision, when we need to calculate better our thoughts, our next steps. And he's always, calming down the room, let's say. I also really like how he is a very kind person. Joao is full of energy. He's somehow how I imagined myself to be, to just be running around the house, being loud, very, very loud. But I really like that Joao is very serious. He gets fast very serious when it comes to his work. He's very firm in taking decisions, very calculated. And I really appreciate how he will never give his time for something that doesn't deserve it. Kaspars is very, very funny. And I mean it. He's I think I'm not doing an overstatement here by saying that he's the most funny board member in the history of ESN. I am sorry. I'm sorry to Thomas Papas. but yeah, we are laughing a lot with Kaspars, and he manages to bring the mood to a brighter place in the room. He always has good input. I feel that he is always reflecting to everything that he hears. And Tayana, I left her for last because I also knew her from before. We know each other for quite some years. She was my press team coordinator back in the days. So we worked together for a while, but of course in different roles, circumstances. And I knew I will be able to work well with her when we were co-facilitators in Educate Starter. Tayana is very organized. She is like an ambulant human reminder. because she never forgets about anything that that we have to do, and she makes sure that we always know and that we are aware of the deadline, and she's checking up on us, and she can be very tough sometimes. But then she has this this ability to switch from an innocent kid to a very serious board member. For me personally, I really appreciate that I can talk with her, you know, like between girls, and I can share what more in-depth thoughts that I have. And we're also trying to have our weekly walks together in the city.
It's too bad. We were done with the who's the best cook competition. We almost reached the piece, and now you've launched a new one about who's the funniest board member competition. So,
well, I told you we have a winner.
Yeah, that'll be a matter for the comments on Facebook. I won't judge here. It's great to hear all your descriptions and to see that you guys get along, are so close together. And obviously you are getting along very well, humanly, because you've decided to all together run again, for the board position for this coming year. Now, in terms of the position itself, obviously communication is very important tool right now. We see it now even more in this period where everybody needs communication because we are stuck in quarantine. So, how do you deal with it right now, and how do you expect to deal with it in the future?
There are indeed very rough times for communication right now. But to be honest, I believe most of the difficult part already passed. We were all very lost in the beginning. By all, I mean the entire world. We didn't know what was happening. We didn't know how serious this is. If we should really, you know, shut down everything. But I think our network managed to pass this moment very well. We were very proud to see how the people in the local sections were dealing with the tough situations they had with canceling or postponing the event, and how they always and constantly communicated to the international students about the new regulations in their cities and countries. I think it came naturally because as ESNers, we're always prepared to give a helping hand. Then, when it comes to the international level, we had to take some decisions very fast also. And it was quite of a moment of deciding, are we just shutting out things, or are we building upon this bad situation, transforming it in well, the best possible result that we can get. And we decided to try to be there more active. We took some initiatives. We developed a survey to see what is actually happening, what are the consequences of this outbreak. And then we also try to work with the network to offer a relief to those suffering at home through Erasmus at Home initiatives. So I think we passed this first challenging moment, and now we are in a period of waiting to see what will actually happen, and if our biggest fears will become reality or not. Because we've been hoping that everything will go back to normal for student mobility somewhere in summer. Everybody would be ready for the autumn semester, but we are still living this incertitude. Of course, it's not up to us, right? To shorten it up, I would say that it's important to be updated with everything that moves in these times, and also be there for others with disinformation and with other suiting activities.
So, taking the lessons from this challenge, do you think that when situation goes back to normal and the network goes back to growing, because that was the plan before quarantine, how do you think that will impact the position of communication manager?
I think when things will go back to normal, it will be a bit more difficult in the beginning for me and my colleagues, not only for me in terms of communication, because there are many projects that have been cancelled, postponed for us, and we will need to go back to that. We will need to find a timeline again. There are projects that bound us with grants and deadline, and we don't know their future right now. And then it will be very difficult also to keep the updates ongoing, because everything will get back to normal, but slowly in different paces for different countries. And we will not have a general reality that we can talk about. We will not be able to say, now all universities are open and communicate this. But we will have to adapt more. And this is where it's very good that there is always a close contact with the SN countries and with the national agencies. And there's always a share of best practices. So this will be very important, because this is what I believe, that there will not be a universal reality to communicate about.
Thank you for this insight. And now, as we are nearing the end of this interview, to conclude a bit again with you, you've applied for another year of IB mandate, as I said. And regardless of the results, what I'd be interested to hear is, do you already think of an after ESN? And do you have plans for the future of after you're done with ESN, for real this time?
Okay, for real this time, this will happen at some point. I need to accept this now. One of the options would be to find another fulfilling job in communication here in Brussels, which would be either in the creative sector, either for another European NGO. I think it would be very difficult for me to go back to a normal office job, but of course this is how things go, and I would prefer to find a job in an NGO, because I would still feel that I am bringing something. I'm trying to make a change in the world. Another option would be if I have the finances. I don't know how. This is a dream. To go travel around the world for 6 months or a year.
Okay, so those are big plans, and wish you all the best for that. Let's conclude this interview on something more light, a bit of few fun facts about you, maybe a little something fun about you that people don't necessarily know.
There's so many random things. Okay, let's see. I really love seals, and some friends call me Seal. In different languages, of course. It can be Foca in Romanian. And the gift that I received now for my birthday from the Yesen House residence was, of course, a little seal. And related to this, I hope I won't suffer afterwards because I'm saying this, but I have other 3 seals already in my room.
Do they each have a name?
Of course.
Do you have a favorite karaoke song?
Yes, I do. It's very random. It happened at some point years ago. It's from Lady Gaga, Bad Romance. Ever since, this is my first to go song.
Do you sing it around the house under the shower these days, or
this one? Not, no.
Or do you sing under the shower for the whole house to enjoy?
Well, if it's under the shower, usually the entire house doesn't hear.
Then you're not singing loud enough.
Good point. No, lately I've been singing a French song.
Do you have a favorite book that you're reading at the moment during isolation?
I am currently reading The Perks of Being a Wallflower, and even though usually the book is better than the movie, this time I think I like the movie more. I also recently read my favorite book. So it was during quarantine, as you said, and my favorite book, it's called How I Became Stupid.
Okay.
you have to read it and see before you judge the title.
Okay, no, I was going to say it's not a how-to guide because I'm doing fine on my own personally. I don't need a book.
No, it's not a guide. It's okay. Not a guide.
And on the other hand, TV shows or movies, any recommendation?
I'm watching TV series lately more. I'm recommending The Good Place and also Spinning Out. They're very different from each other. Very, very different.
And to finish up, maybe the most important thing, your best hidden secret. Why do you always do that fish mouth thing on pictures?
I guess it's not a secret anymore. It's called the aggressive fish. And
aggressive fish.
It was born when I was in middle school. And it was just a sign of, I don't know, a random dump face. But then it got stuck with me because it was always funny and it brought humor to my sister and then to my friends. What's very important is that you don't just make a fish face. It's the aggressive fish. So you need to actually enter the character and get some more tense energy in you to be able to show a bit of aggressivity in your eyes.
Any words to conclude this interview, Sabina?
I would like to say, as an advice to everybody listening, to remember to check on your friends, maybe on your more quiet friends during these times, because you never know when somebody really needs a voice, a hand, somebody to be there for them.
Thank you very much for those kind words, indeed. And thank you, Sabina, for this interview. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. And we'll see you all later on another episode of the ESN podcast. Bye-bye.
Ta-da-ta-da. Thank you very much. Merci beaucoup, Guillaume.
Yeah.